Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
The confetti machine located at our central bank printed $80 billion in the past 3 months. I'm very sure Mr. Powell is printing even more this week to support stocks as they tanked in the wake of the U.S. attack on Iran. The Fed put has never been bigger than it has been under the leadership of the current Fed chair. If our president wanted to hire a greater money printer to run the Fed, he would have to hire Al Capone. And yet, despite all the new creation of high-powered money, the S&P is unchanged year-to-date. Meanwhile, inflation remains elevated. The producer price index increased by 2.9% year-over-year in January versus the 2.6% estimated increase. Hence, there may not be any rate cuts at all in 2026. This begs the question, if inflation is still an issue, why did the 10-year note yield recently fall back below 4%? Are falling yields a signal that the odds of a recession are increasing? To bolster that view, financial conditions have stopped easing and credit spreads have stopped tightening. They're not getting out of control. They're not blowing out and conditions aren't tightening. They just stopped easing, stopped getting better. Also, the share of U.S. loans that are now in delinquency are spiking to the highest level since 2017. Why is this happening when nearly every U.S. economist is super bullish about economic growth this year? After all, fiscal stimulus from the one big beautiful bill and monetary stimulus from the new Fed chair are supposed to lead this economy to be the best the planet has ever seen. In fact, we are purportedly being told that the best economy the planet has ever seen is here right now. But as stated, a significant rate cutting cycle is untenable given our stubborn inflation problem. Therefore, the monetary support from the incumbent-to-be Fed chair, Warsh, will most likely end up disappointing Wall Street, which always craves for more money to be thrown at banks. Never enough, according to Wall Street. I don't do narratives when it comes to investing. Before the Iran war went kinetic, the inflation, deflation, and economic cycle model had us in a bullish dance, but with hedges in place. And the reason is because when markets are this overvalued and overleveraged, they become extremely vulnerable to any shock at all. Even a minor bump can lead to extensive damage. I call it a hemophiliac market. The slightest injury can cause massive internal bleeding. And we are fully prepared to increase our hedges if my model's indicators deteriorate. Even though oil is up just 7% for the week, which has the most negative effect on stock prices, the most stretched and volatile markets like South Korea plunged by 20%, silver dropped by 15%, and many U.S. tech shares dropped by 10% or more. That is the nature of bubbles. They tend to overreact. A 7% increase in energy caused, you know, many sectors to get wiped out. Now, I was not sure why credit spreads and financial conditions stopped improving. I was unclear if it was because the U.S. had definitely decided it was going to attack Iran, as that turns out to be the case. I didn't know if it was because the AI revolution was about to go bust, like the internet bubble in 2000. I don't have to know the why. I just must be able to respond to the conditions. Likewise, I was unsure back in January of 2020 if the new coronavirus outbreak would be like the bubonic plague or just lead to a case of the global sniffles. I didn't know. But my model knew early on it was going to lead to a significant disruption in markets and GDP. So I took the necessary steps to reduce risk before there was any major damage done to the equity market. But back to the current situation. The Iranian leadership is comprised of cowardly and inept scum. They viciously abuse their unarmed population because the government, the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, and the police are the only part of the population that has arms. Governments love a population that is defenseless. The U.S. has weakened Iran's ability to harm U.S. interests outside the disruption of energy transportation in the Gulf. Therefore, I'm not so concerned about the Iranian government any longer. But I'm very much more concerned about what China and Russia have learned from the U.S. military interventions. The arms race has been catapulted into the thermosphere. They're not going to back down from building up their militaries based on what we've seen so far, heard and seen from the Trump administration. 15% of Chinese oil comes from Iran, and 45% must be transported through the Strait of Hormuz. China is the world's largest importer of crude oil. Therefore, China cannot be an unbiased observer of U.S. military actions in the Middle East. In fact, China relies on both Iran and Venezuela for a good deal of their oil. Is it just a coincidence that the U.S. chose those two nations to attack militarily? I don't know, maybe not. I'm thrilled that the radical theocracy of Iran is in shambles. However, I also worry about the U.S.'s idea that they're the policemen of the world. I hate that, actually. A philosophy that espouses preemptive violence seldom leads to lasting peace. I'm also concerned about the money it costs to run our empire. In 2024, the U.S. accounted for 36% of the world's military spending, $2.7 trillion. More than the next nine biggest spenders, China, Russia, Germany, India, UK, Saudi Arabia, Ukraine, France, and Japan combined. What is the model thinking about the war and its effect on markets? As far as our investment strategy is concerned, higher energy prices will exacerbate the affordability problem facing most U.S. consumers. The longer energy prices remain elevated, the higher the probability that a recession becomes a reality. Trump is just as likely to make a deal with Iran to open the Strait of Hormuz and declare victory as he is to decide to occupy Iran. I mean, to be honest, nobody knows. I don't have the answer to what Trump will end up doing at this time. This is because I don't even think Trump knows what he's going to do. However, I do believe that the IDEC model will respond correctly to the outcome of this war before it's evident to the vast majority of investors. That's all that's important. That's the most important thing. Remember this, though. Trump is fond of measuring his presidential success on how well the stock market is performing. Well, right now it's not doing very well. I mean, we're in March now and he's unchanged on the year. I don't know if that corresponds with his schedule, that he thinks that he's ahead of schedule. The stock market doesn't have a schedule, by the way. And neither is the spike in energy costs going to mollify the affordability problem most Americans are suffering. Higher prices and slower economic growth equal stagflation for the moment. But this is just a little taste of what we are likely going to experience with great intensity and duration in the longer run. But again, as of today, March 4th, the model still has us in sector 3, which is an unchanged in the second derivative of inflation and growth. That is probably going to be the case if energy prices do not continue to rise and remain elevated for very long. Therefore, we are not yet selling longs and making really any changes to the portfolio. We're not increasing hedges yet either. But know this, bubbles persist. Bubbles remain evident. They are extant in great capacity. And credit markets remain extremely fragile. Reality cannot and will not be forestalled forever. We are getting ever closer to that Sector 1 collapse, which should be followed by unprecedented Sector 5 stagflation. And we, as always, remain on high alert.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.